T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, one more time. Hopefully we got a lot of Fridays left here, not just one more time. Good morning, everybody. We got a lot of stuff going on as it's a Friday, and there is a lot of negative stuff going on out there. We're going to get into it. I never thought ever that someday, of all the crazy shows and all the different things that have happened in sports, not in politics, not in news, but in sports directly, vaccinated or not.
Huh. There's been a lot of those this past 18 months or so, Joe. A lot of firsts, but this one is, yeah.
Well, so it's funny because had a chance to spend time in a room with just Joe Z, myself, and the commissioner of the ACC, who I'm a big fan of. Brand new, but just really a nice guy. Like, call me, here's my number. Like, you know, I mean, he was just not one of these, I'm big time now, you know, I'm a power five, the man. And so it was just really refreshing. And he said, hey, man, the push is to get our coaches and players vaccinated to give us a chance to get this in. Listen, it all goes back to money. I get it, man. And no question. It's all about money. And then right in the middle of it, bam, the NFL says, no, we're going to do one better. We are, here's what we're going to do. If you're not vaccinated, you know, it's your choice. I can't make you. We can't put a gun to your head. But if you don't and you have an outbreak on the team and you can't play and you have enough guys to play, or you got to play with a bunch of backups because your key guys are, you're going to forfeit the game. And, oh, by the way, nobody gets paid for that game. See how that goes over with teammates. So and I agree, man. I was listening to everybody's take on it, former players, active players, what might happen. And we've had the players come out strong, pro both ways, you know. And, you know, we don't know about this. It's a conspiracy. Fauci's trying to make money on this. Wherever you're from, political.
One of those players yesterday was saying that he works for Pfizer.
Yeah.
Which is not accurate.
So you know, whatever you're listening to. And by the way, I always say this, whatever TV station you're watching, you know what I'm saying? I mean, for those of you that still, and I got a mother that just can't stop watching CNN. And I said, Mom, stop. Watch something else. Why you get all fired up?
It's all bad. And they do try to play on your emotions.
And by the way, it's Fox, it's CNN, and, you know, it's just anytime there's something big going on, you know, and you see it and you go, oh, can we watch ESPN? Can we watch a sporting event? Can we watch a movie? Can we make something that's half fake? One of my Alaskan shows. Can we just watch something where nobody's going to get all fired up? So anyway, the NFL just said, hey, man, you're right. And this is about money and having the best product possible. No question about it. Everybody, this goes back to money. Yeah. You're right. It's a business. Hey, guess what? You're right for college and pro. It is about money. Money signs everywhere. So if there's an outbreak, you could forfeit the game. And, oh, by the way, you won't be paid. And so a lot of guys are fired up. Other guys are going, what's the damn big deal, man? We're trying to stay healthy. And other people saying, well, we don't know. I am actually surprised privately yesterday. There were a lot of people kind of going around going, there's a lot of college kids, a lot of college players haven't been vaccinated. They're still working on it. Some of the professional numbers As of the other day, what I tell you, Woody, are two teams are under 50% in the NFL. And, you know, it puts coaches in an awkward situation because, you know, they get going on it. And DeAndre Hopkins, he said he's questioning his future. Okay. Well, listen, you go ahead. You find another job where you can make $20 million, get all that money that you got up front, call a signing bonus, front-loaded contracts that are guaranteed. You go find another job that is going to give you over 2 years, $54 million. You let me know if you find it because you're going to fight this thing. You know, be my guest. Or you could take a shot. Listen, you can take a shot, as in a shot to not take it, and see what happens. Anyway, it's crazy.
It's bizarre, Joe, because, I mean, first of all, you're talking about a sport where guys are getting, I mean, they're putting their bodies and their long-term health on the line to begin with, right?
Right.
Which is the obvious of the NFL. Then you have guys that take, you know, all kinds of stuff. And you got painkillers, all this other stuff, and now all of a sudden the vaccine is like evil. I maybe I'm naive, but I thought, like, when the vaccine came out, it was going to be kind of the end of the pandemic. But
I just
seems
thought,
like, we're just ramping back up again.
Yeah,
it's
so
kind of sad, man.
It is crazy because I thought I can't talk for people in general, you know, going back to this whole thing and people that fought it, you know, with the former president and stuff. And I just thought the athletes would do it. I was and a lot of guys are scared to death of I know why a lot of them aren't doing it. They're scared to death the unknown of what might happen down the road. And There's just a lot of people that don't have a lot of trust in science, basically. And, you know, who's behind this and what are they trying to do to us? And women are worried about getting pregnant. I've heard that one, you know. And so there's a lot. And then others are going, well, I haven't taken a shot and I never got it. So I think I'm fine. We just went through this really bad period in this country, and I never got it. At least I don't think I did, because I always felt great. And so
my favorite new one, though, is that, you know, all these people are coming out saying, I know people that have gotten the shots and have still gotten COVID.
Which, by the way,
that's
was told
the new
to
one.
Us.
Yeah. Yeah, they did tell us that.
They did tell us that the whole thing was.
Yeah, you're not
this,
immune. You're just not going to end up in the ICU.
That's the whole thought. Yeah. That one, by the way, at my age was the only news I wanted to hear, is if I get these shots, am I going to have to go to a hospital if I get it again? And they go, no, that's supposed to keep you out of there. We'll find out. Listen,
did you see the video? CBS Miami had a video. They were interviewing people, and there was a guy he's laying in a hospital bed. He's got tubes all over him.
I saw it.
And they go, will you get the vaccine now? And he goes, no.
Yeah. Yeah. That guy, by the way, I have no sympathy for just stupid.
The other video I saw is they said they were interviewing doctors that said people are begging for this thing, like, on their deathbed, and at that point it's too late.
Right. Anyway,
it's a sad story.
Hey,
man.
Listen, man, I'm sure now we're gonna have, for people up early this morning that feel strongly one way or the other, we're gonna, especially people that disagree with this, are gonna come out strong on behalf of whatever side you're on this thing. I just. When the shot thing came out and these numbers were getting bad and we saw these people dying, I just thought it'd be a slam dunk that once they got something that looked like it would work.
Yeah, I thought there'd be lines.
I did
that
too.
Out the door.
I never thought the first 50% were going to be, or 40% were going to be real quick to do it, and then the others, as the numbers went down, go, well, I guess I'm going to skip it and not do it.
Isn't there one thing that everyone can agree on, that we want this to be over? That we don't want to talk about COVID anymore? Like, isn't that the one thing, the one common ground that everyone has, that one way or the other we want this to be over?
Yes.
And I don't know any other way to get this thing done with than for people to take this shot. And we got mass gatherings all over the place. You know how many people were in Milwaukee yesterday?
Well,
for that thing? I mean, Joe, there's...
Yeah.
It's frustrating, man.
It, whatever it is, this is what's going on in college football. And then yesterday, as I was getting ready to fly home from Charlotte, the NFL came out with this, and there's by the way, it's going to get heated behind closed doors between the players that are doing it and not doing it, and how they feel and talking about it. And if there's a little outbreak on a team, there's going to be a lot of salty guys. Now, we basically, the only guys we really heard from yesterday were the guys like DeAndre Hopkins, who were, or Cole Beasley, and those guys that are really against it and bringing up stuff. And by the way, somebody needs to try to educate Feliciano a little bit. Probably a good idea, but whatever. Western High School, and
I mean, his stuff was Looney Tunes yesterday, yeah, man. Yeah. That was some scary stuff that he was tweeting out.
Yeah, I just
blame. I don't know where people. The problem is, Joe, and it is sad, but
well, this thing's
people
not
get
about
this. There's such a spread of bad information right now, which I think is really the biggest problem that we have in our country. Is there is a massive spread of, and you started talking about the news networks. But you're not active on Twitter. I am. And there is a massive, massive spread of people that either think they're doctors or, you know, claim to be doctors. Everyone is spreading all sorts of nonsense and information. It's where these people get this stuff. And then, you know, listen, there's a lot of people that listen to football players and look up to these guys and are going to kind of go with what they say, the best athletes we have in the world.
Well, I'm still from the school of that these guys that are working in science – still hell of a lot smarter. The ones that were trying to find this vaccination and put something together. And the CDC is not against us and not trying to kill us. I got to believe in that. Whatever you think.
Well, the myth is that they just whipped this thing up like last second here, you know, which is not true either.
Right.
But.
And then Fauci, you know, whatever people feel about Fauci, it's amazing that he's still such a huge story and that whole thing. Well, anyway, we've got that going on. And then yesterday, the Avante Williams story came out, the young, talented safety for the Miami Hurricanes, who was dismissed from the University of Miami football team, 3 counts of aggravated battery on a pregnant woman who was going to have his child. And so he's kicked off the team. And so I know first thing people are going, well, you know, the comments and everything. He's done. And, you know, it's just it's one of those sad stories. It's like you couldn't play last year. You come back. I think everybody thought he was going to be in the rotation. He's a really talented guy. But he just wasted an unbelievable opportunity with emotion and stupidity. And so he got kicked off the team. I don't know what happens down the road. All bets are off when a guy throws down or hits a woman, especially a pregnant woman. And so you have that. And so people ask me the other one. I go, listen, man, we're loaded at safety. They've got some really, really good young safeties. James Williams, Cam Kitchens. I want to say this morning because I wanted to get to this. I don't know what's going to happen with James Williams. I don't even know what his position is going to end up being, a 5-star out of American Heritage Plantation. But he is he's a talented kid. He's such a big guy. I don't know if he ends up as an outside linebacker. I don't know, you know, if he's where they'll play him. But I got to tell you, there's a guy that nobody talks about that I think is going to be really, really a big-time player. His name is Cam Kitchens. And he is from Northwestern High School, and he is a really good football player. He was in spring football, and if you didn't catch his act, it's pretty good. It's going to be a name you're going to be hearing a lot. He's part of that recruiting class and a handful of guys that came in early for spring football that should have still been in high school. So there's a lot, not to mention all the safeties that came back from last year. But just a sad story about Avante Williams and how it ended here. Just crazy. We've got a lot of stuff going on here this morning. Woody, while I was up there, talked to Brian Billick from NFL Network, former Super Bowl champion coach. So we'll talk about the National Football League. That's coming up. Dabo Swinney was trending again yesterday with strong comments about the playoffs and the changes that need to take place. And listen, when you're a guy that goes to the Final Four and dominate the ACC the way he has, he makes it real clear. They're my opinions, but something needs to be done. So we're going to have all that for you a little bit later on in the show. You're not going to want to miss what Dabo Swinney had to say. And in college football, by the way, just NIL, playoff expansion, vaccination, and, oh, by the way, Texas and Oklahoma won out of the Big 12, want to be part of the SEC. So we could be in for some big old changes. Nothing's changing more right now than college football, basically. I mean, we could say college sports, but this is all driven by one big, powerful sport called college football. So a lot of crazy stuff. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on in the show. But coming up next, Hollywood talks to Brian Billick. We'll be right back.
Welcome back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And here on WQAM, joining us now is a Super Bowl champion head coach, Brian Billick, is with us. Coach, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Coach, I want to jump right into something that we've been talking about here recently, and first-round picks. The Dolphins have a whole handful of those, obviously, but looking at this year's top pick for the Dolphins, Jalen Waddle, you bring in a guy like that, Coach, you use a top pick on him, a top five pick, and the Dolphins had their choice, by the way, of any of those guys that they wanted. They end up trading down and say, Jalen Waddle's our guy. What kind of impact does he need to make here in year one for the Miami Dolphins? You know, also knowing that they brought him in to be a primary weapon here for Tua Tagovailoa.
Well, and the fact that it's in conjunction with Devontae Parker and Will Fuller, and it's big. He can have a huge impact. Now, it may not be a huge, you know, he may be a 40, 50 catch guy. He could have even more than that. But the impact he's going to have, this is a great player. It's got right pedigree. It allows you to spread the field and give Tua more options, which is always a good thing. So, yeah, I think it was a great choice on their part and gives them a really talented, deep, and diverse receiving core.
Coach, when you would get first-round picks and you'd bring them in, what were your expectations for them right off the bat? Are they different than say, a guy you take maybe in some of the later rounds? I mean, do you expect if you take a guy in the first round, especially early on in the first round, this guy has to come in and absolutely has to make an impact in year one?
Well, there are all those expectations. Now, it depends on the position as well. Some positions obviously are going to differ. The wide receiver position is actually a tougher transition. A lot of people think, well, yeah, why wouldn't he, you know, he's going out catching the ball. The guy's got proven ability. Why wouldn't he have a big impact? But that transition into the pro game, the caliber of the defenses, backs that you're facing, the windows that is considered open in the NFL compared to college football, it is more of an adjustment for receivers than I think people give them credit. But yes, they do have the ability, like I said, particularly if they, and the thing with Waddle, as I said earlier, the fact that he comes in with a solid group with Fuller and Devontae Parker, if he were just the guy and they brought him in to be that guy, that does carry a lot of pressure and a lot of adjustment for a young player. But the fact that he can fit into the whole mosaic of this receiving group, I think is going to, you know, bode well for him.
Coach Brian Billick here with us on WQAM. And, Coach, you lead me perfectly into our next topic here, which is Tua Tagovailoa. And he enters his second year here with the Miami Dolphins. Now, there's been a lot of discussion that this is a huge year for Tua, which it obviously is. But this is kind of the year that we're going to see if Tua can be the quarterback of the future. And I ask you this, Coach. Is it fair to put that kind of pressure on a guy in his second season? And can you tell after a second season with a quarterback, hey, this is our guy that we can, you know, kind of hitch our wagon to moving forward? Or do you need to see more?
Well, it may not be fair, but that's life in the NFL. When you're taking number one overall, and there is the biggest jump is going to be from the first to the second year. You now have an entire offseason. he's got a basis from which to build from. He knows what it is to play in the NFL now. So now that film study and that off-season study is very real. It's very applicable. Bill Walsh always felt like you're going to know whether a guy is a guy, is a franchise guy, by that 24th, 25th, 26th start. Now, it may happen before then, and we've seen that before, but if it doesn't happen by then it's probably not there. So, yeah, that clock is kind of ticking. He's surrounded by a pretty good team now. We just talked about with the addition of Waddle. I like the addition of Logan Hunter at tight end. I mean, they've got some pieces around him that there's every reason to have realistic expectations that he is indeed going to be that guy that you took as the first overall pick in 2020.
Coach, it looked like with Tua in year one, and obviously they didn't really open up the full playbook for him, and then he even had comments in the offseason that he didn't have a full grasp of the playbook, and you know, hopefully he does going into year two. But if you were the coach of this team, would there be any restrictions on Tua, or it would be, you know, we're going to throw everything we have at this guy and we're going to see what he can do? Or would there be any restrictions?
Yeah, if you're putting restrictions on a second-year player that now has played and has that experience, then you probably already have the answer to your question whether he's a guy or not. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that they're not. Now, again, you've got to fit what you're doing around the player. So there are certain aspects of the offense that, quite frankly, you just may not do with him simply because that doesn't fit the skill set of what he has around him or what he does. That's true of any quarterback. But in terms of the amount of offense or doing, you know, tailing it back because you're not sure he can handle it, that would be a major concern for me.
Coach Brian Billick here with us on WQAM. Just to shift gears to Deshaun Watson, he's obviously another guy that gets talked about a lot down here. And, you know, Coach, I want to ask you, we were discussing this on the show the other day, is there just too much baggage with him, even if he gets cleared? Is it difficult to bring a guy like that? And his talent is not in question. There's no doubt about that. But when you bring a guy into your locker room and into your organization that has that much baggage, is that a difficult thing to do?
Well, the players will embrace it. By all accounts, is a good, solid guy. Obviously, there are some things that are going on swirling around him. The biggest downside to me is we just got done talking about Tua and his development and being the guy. But if you're truly, and we don't know if it's true or not or whether they're truly pursuing that, but if we can get Deshaun Watson, we'll go get him. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a tough dynamic. I mean, either you believe in Tua or you don't. Or it's, yeah, well, we believe in Tua if we can't get this other guy and maybe we'll be okay. That's a tough message to send into the locker room. So that would be more of a concern to me than if indeed, and particularly if it lingers and during training camp, and we still might get Deshaun Watson. I don't know what that does to the dynamic for Tua and for that team and their perspective of what their quarterback position is.
Coach, to another quarterback who has been in the news a lot here, Aaron Rodgers. I'm just curious, first off, how you see this thing playing out with Aaron Rodgers. And from a coaching standpoint, how difficult could it be to deal with a situation like this? And obviously, there's a lot of smoothing over that needs to be done here by the entire Packers organization if they do want him back. But, Coach, have you ever dealt with a situation like this? We had a player that was just so unhappy, and, you know, maybe you sat down and just kind of, you know, hammered things out and made it all good?
Well, you always have that in the off season because it has to do with the money and the contract and all that. And you, as a coach, you got to kind of keep yourself arm's length from it if you can, because at the end of the day, you've got to work with the player. This is a unique one. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is the MVP of the league. What he represents, the circumstance, this is a tough one. Now, as a coach, I can only coach who's here, so that's where our focus is. But, yeah, for it to be an Aaron Rodgers, just like any of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, and it's been interesting with the amount of money they're making now and the amount that's guaranteed. To me, it's getting a feel of it's more like the NBA, and these guys think they're LeBron James and can dictate to their clubs in the league who and what and how they're going to play. And I don't know that that's a good thing. If you're a betting man, both Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, are they going to be with their existing teams? I'd say yes. Mm-hmm. But this is a new world. This one's going to be interesting to see how this transpires. I can also see them both coming back and going, okay, no harm, no foul. That was all offseason talk. Yeah, let's go play football.
All right, one thing that doesn't change, Coach, is Jerry Jones. He continues to remain out front here with the Cowboys, and, you know, they have Hard Knocks coming up and all that. My question to you is this. You know, Jerry just spoke yesterday and gave his emotional press conference and talked about a lot of different stuff, but how difficult is it for members of that coaching staff and maybe even the players at some points there, Coach, when you have an owner who is so involved and so out front with everything and talks to the media after games and, you know, gives his opinions on the game so quickly afterwards? And is that difficult for a coach to basically to win in Dallas?
Well, no, simply because you know that's what it is, that you knew that when you took the job, and it is unique. It's not, quite frankly, what the best consistent winning organizations in the league do, but Jerry Jones has never fit that mode. And so when you take the job, they're used to it, and that just is what it is. And whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, doesn't matter. It's his team, and he can do whatever he wants. There, as a coach, it adds another layer for you to have to deal with in terms of the players responding to you and the pressures. But every coach has pressures in the NFL. I mean, that's the nature of the game. But no, in terms of them dealing with it, they're used to it. They knew that when they signed on. And so it's just business as usual.
Coach, one last question for you, and I'm just curious your opinion. I'm sure you followed along with what's going on in college football with name, image, and likeness and players now being able to capitalize on that. And I know that it probably doesn't affect the NFL all that much, but what are your thoughts on college athletes now being able to get compensated and, you know, maybe that helps, you know, them learn some business skills and stuff like that on their way to the NFL? But what are your thoughts on just name, image, and likeness as a whole?
Well, yes, intellectually, it makes sense. And the players ought to be, you know, dealt a piece of the pie, so to speak. But I think we're opening a Pandora's box. I'm concerned about it. There's so many different layers to this. And the biggest consequence is the smaller sports there's going to be cuts. There's going to be kids, scholarships taken away, programs shut down. I'm talking about the lesser sports at the college scene because of the monies that are going to have to be spent at the top end. That's an unintended consequence that I worry about because of, you know, college athletics provides so many opportunities at so many levels, both male and female sports, to get to college and play, you know, whether it's a lacrosse team or the equestrian team or whatever, that the monies for them are going to get squeezed. And that's going to be an unfortunate byproduct to me.
All right, Coach, we are, of course, a hotbed for college football, high school football, all of it down here in South Florida. And you have a great product that you want to talk to us about, X-Tech shoulder pads. Tell us about it, Coach.
Yeah, we're the number one pad in the National Football League. And as we are in the top college programs and even in the high school programs like Modern Day, De La Salle, Bishop Gorman, St. Thomas Aquinas. This is the best pad on the market. You know, the game has evolved so much. You're taking the head out of the game, everything from headset communication to GPS tracking. The one thing that hadn't changed were pads, but X-Tech's pad has changed that. We're the number one pad. This is the pad that our young people need to be in. It's exciting for me to see high school players now because the parents are getting involved. They're vesting themselves in the process of making sure that their players are in the best equipment available. It's a great game, but it's a game that's got to be taught properly, and you've got to be protected properly, and X-Tech pads are the way to do that.
And you can enter the promo code COACH21 for 10% off your order. That's X-Tech shoulder pads, COACH21 for 10% off your order. Coach Billick, thank you so much for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
Glad to do it.
All right, that was Super Bowl 35 champion head coach Brian Billick. We will take a pause. More of the Joe Rose Show coming up next here on WQAM.
All right, welcome back here on a Friday. As nice stuff, Hollywood, with Brian Billick yesterday. Had a chance to talk to him from NFL Network. Man, we're going to open up here. Camp's going to open up in just a couple of days. We're going to have Mike Florio, obviously, on in the 9 o'clock hour, and Dabo Swinney, Clemson head coach, will join us a little bit later on as well, and we'll talk to him very, very outspoken. By the way, all these things, it's incredible especially in the ACC, because I had a chance to talk to most of the coaches up there, who most of them recruit and recruit a lot down here. No surprise there. But their feelings on all these changes, nothing's changing more right now than college football. I could say college sports again, but it's really everything's around college football. Woody, it was crazy. I mean,
well, can I ask you a question, Joe? Did you get the feeling, because I think one of the big advantages, I don't know if advantage is the right word, but to being a college coach is you have the control over the players and the program and all that, right? Did you get the sense that these coaches who are paid insane salaries are losing a tad bit of that control that they have? You know what I'm talking about, where they can basically do whatever they
want.
So
that's a great question.
Now that you got players that can get compensated, I just wonder if the dynamic is switching a tad, and I wonder if you picked up on that a little bit.
Yeah, so as I said, and Dabo's one of those guys that's really – he's had to change. Listen, he's the one that came out and said, if players get paid, I quit. I'm done.
Did you ask him about that?
No, but he talked a little bit about, like, listen, he's making almost $10 million a year. He's one of the highest paid coaches. By the way, he's one of the highest paid coaches in sports. Like, there's a good chance in some professional sports, like, he makes a lot more than a lot of guys in that where athletes get paid for a living.
So when the bonuses come in, he's making, what, $1 million a game?
So Dabo, I don't know about that, but, you know, Dabo and Nick Saban are in a class of their own as far as getting paid right now. So, you know, it's been an adjustment for those guys, yeah. And so now they got to jump aboard and go, yeah, listen, man, if this is what we're going to do, then, you know, we got to get out and do it with everybody else. But education, guys got to get their education. We can't play an NFL schedule. We cannot play an NFL schedule. It's not fair to these guys. It's just not fair. And in fairness to Dabo Sweeney and Nick Saban and Ohio State, whichever coach it was, whether it was Urban or their new coach, they're used to playing 15 games a year because they win their conference, they win their championship game, and they get to the final game most years. You know, you realize since we started this Final Four, right now, the four-team playoff, it's really been three teams consistently in there. Ohio State, Clemson, and Alabama. And I know LSU's got to flirt with it, and Oklahoma got to flirt with it, and Notre Dame got to flirt with it. But those other three are, like, used to going. Like, whatever you do in the game, they're always going to tell you, we're going to win our conference. Like, if I was to ask you right now without knowing what's going to happen this year, and I was like, who's going to win the SEC? You're going to say Alabama, right? No, and I know there's some of the teams are better.
No, Alabama.
Alabama.
They're so far ahead of everyone.
And who's going to win the Big Ten?
I mean, Ohio State, okay. Obviously.
And then, you know, who's going to win the ACC?
Yeah, that's obvious, too.
That's a Usain Bolt race so far, what he's been doing.
And then it's pretty predictable who that fourth team is going to be, which is why I think the expansion of the playoff is absolutely necessary. I mean, you could, Joe, name five teams right now that got a pretty good shot of making that thing, and it's probably not going to come from one of those conferences out west, right? It's not going to be the Pac-12.
Well, listen,
very unlikely they get a team in.
You got to listen to some of the Dabo Sweeney stuff because he kept saying, in my opinion, but it was strong, and once again, it was trending yesterday, his stuff that he had with us. We'll let you know we're gonna have the coach on a little bit later on in the show, but. Yeah, man, it's college football. I mean, you go up there and you're looking at these guys just coming off a year of COVID where some of them didn't get games in, and if they weren't important games at the end and had to, you know, we can't play this week and maybe we can play in 2 weeks and all those things, whether they end up having good years or bad years. So now they're dealing with everything from players getting paid. The vaccination all of a sudden has become – topic number one, playoff expansion they have to talk about. And then, oh, by the way, it leaks out yesterday, Texas and Oklahoma want to go to the SEC. And by the way, make no mistake about it, everybody said yesterday, like, yeah, they want to go to the SEC. This is not some BS report. Nobody's going, this is a joke. They don't want to leave the Big 12. No, they want to jump in and be part of the SEC. And again, everything we're talking about has to do, even vaccination, it all has to do with money and getting the season in. That's what it's about. At the end of the day, this whole thing, and I know we've already got some stuff on the left side and the right side coming in on vaccination this morning and whatever you think about it. And I don't even know where we are in this country outside of sports in general. What are we, about half the population or so?
Yeah, depending on where you live. I think Alabama's got like 20% of their people.
So, we're all over the board.
Going back to the SEC, though, do you think every school in that conference votes yes for those two programs? Because, Joe, wouldn't Texas and Oklahoma be,
be what?
What some of the top programs, and I know Texas hasn't won lately, but wouldn't they overshadow almost every program there except for the top two or three? I mean, those are massive programs.
Texas A&M came out and said, we don't want Texas in the SEC. We don't want them. We don't want them. We like this. We jumped in with you, and it's put us actually as a program in recruiting. It's put us ahead of Texas. Jimbo's got that thing. I'd ask you right now, who's got a better program? By the way, Texas just fired a coach, got a brand new coach.
I think Texas. I really do.
A&M's ahead of Texas right
maybe
now.
Maybe at this second, Joe, but I think when you look at the program as a whole, I mean, you look at what everything Texas has to offer. It's tough to – it is
by the
amazing,
way,
by the way, that Texas can't win. And I think
Texas,
it came out
A&M.
They won the Big 12. Like, they've won it one more time than Nebraska in the past, like, 25 years. I mean, they've had no success
right
lately, but that – school, I mean, you'd think it'd be pretty easy to win over there.
How would you think
with the
be?
Resources they have, Joe?
Yeah,
with their own ESPN network.
Why don't you ask Miami and USC that same question?
I don't think those schools have anything in common. I think that's a bad example.
You do?
Yeah, I don't think Miami or Southern Cal, the two small private schools, have anything in common with that big school in Texas there, Austin, Texas.
Well, specifically USC, I think you are so wrong. USC's got a population of 25 million people in their backyard, including some of the top private and public high school, loaded with college football players, loaded with top-notch high school football players. USC, because part of this is about tradition, right? Big part of this is tradition. All right, so USC's had every bit of tradition or more than Texas. I mean, it's been a factory going back to my years. It's for people a little bit older, they go back to all the great players. Outside of being a small private school, you're right about that versus a public school. But Woody, that SC thing, I mean, there's a lot of people still believe if you ever get that thing right, you know. But now,
yeah, but you could say the same thing about Miami.
Well, they have,
couldn't you?
They have a lot in common right now, because now everybody's brother's coming in their backyard taking their top players. Yes, that's what they have in common right now. So, I don't know, man. Texas.
I mean, if Miami were to figure out a way, Joe, to have a playoff season, to get to the playoff and have a really, really successful season where they become the big product in this town, you don't think that Miami could turn it on just like that again?
So they would.
Because you're going to get, your players are starting to get paid down here, right? And there's so many opportunities, I think, here compared
to. They're getting paid everywhere, though.
But I think there's a much better opportunity in a city like this than there is in one of those college towns.
You're not going to like my answer on.
That's fine.
On this UN thing. So, due to the fact of what's happened through the years now, probation and some bad teams and. Winning, yes, will help. If they could ever have a really good season, they will get – the better they get, the better, and more players will stay home. The more quality, the higher-ranked players will stay home more. But let's be honest, man. Let's be really honest about this. There's some schools that have come down here and taken our best players, and they've had great success. And these high school players down here have seen it. They've seen it. They're not going to stop. Clemson has planted seeds down here. One college football coach told me that there is no longer a UM home field advantage. It's from where it used to be, it's down to 10 or 15% where you still get a few like, yay, man, mom and dad, this is what I want, because they're big UM fans and I grew up a big UM fan. That's where I want to go. But Woody.
But there's only one way to fix that, Joe, and you have to have a season where you get to the national stage. You just absolutely have to do that. And, you know, we can talk about, you know, NIL stuff in the big city of Miami and the glamour and all that other nonsense, but you have to put together a playoff caliber season to get noticed on that level. Because that's why people want to play at Clemson. Joe, Woody, that's why they want to play there, because they want to play on the biggest games possible.
But, Woody, the four schools, for the most part, that are going, especially the top three schools, because I always – Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama. They're recruiting at a different level. They're recruiting at a different level. And
but it only takes one big season, Joe. It takes one De'Aaron King leading this team to a playoff and winning a Heisman-type season.
Does he have enough talent with him right now to beat Clemson?
I don't know.
You don't know? What do you think?
You don't think they can beat them, Joe? I mean, you don't think it's possible?
They're nobody's
of course Miami
them.
Can give
nobody's,
them a game and beat them. I know no, nobody's beat them, but at some point,
them.
Joe, someone's going to beat these guys. At some point, it's going to happen. But that, to me, is the only way that Miami levels the playing field, you know, enough where they're going to compete with these guys, is to have that one
You will
big
admit,
season.
Though, this is not like it used to be when you handpicked all your guys on these teams.
No, of course not.
I mean, we now have all the big guys coming down here. Clemson, you know, just because I had nothing to do, Clemson picked off two guys down here. Now, I don't know how interested Miami was in one of the two without getting in specifics. Sounds like we're taking shots at high school players down here. Alabama came down here and grabbed a couple really good players. So you start looking at these top schools, and they grab some high-quality players, high-quality. Anyway, we got to go to break here. We got 7 o'clock hour coming up here, 305-567-0560. If you want to jump in here and join the Lab Rats this morning, we're love to have you here as we continue on here. Got a lot of stuff to
that
get
we're going
to
call ourselves from now on. Some guy did text that in, by the way, called us Lab Rats. Very
lab
nice.
Rats. It's pretty funny. When you said that, hey, guy called us Lab Rats, I went, that's pretty funny.
I like it. I'm intrigued by science.
Oh, anything the government and scientists tell you, you just believe it. Yeah. If they tell me I'm not going to die, if I get these shots and I got a chance because I could still get COVID, I don't end up in a hospital, not the healthiest guy in the world, I'll take it. But everybody's different. Everybody's different.
I lined up for that thing.
By the
man.
Way, can I just
I
say
couldn't get
this?
It soon enough.
The mask and is this
continue? It's the new mask. Yes.
Is this the handoff?
Yes.
Is this the Olympic handoff?
I gotta know. By the way, so you've done some traveling lately here. I gotta know how. You know, we gotta go to break here, but maybe when we come back, you let us know how it went. With all the traveling. Cause I read that article the other day. There's been like thousands of incidents on airplanes.
No, it's good. There are no problems, man. And by the way, they were like, we have people that are not covering up their nose. Please put it over your nose and your mouth, please. Or, no, American wasn't messing around, man. American was not messing around. We're not messing around. 7 o'clock hour's coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.